This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I know I've said a couple of these to you, but there's this group on X that puts these NFL fan therapy videos out. I don't know if I've sent a couple to you.
Yes, I've watched them. They actually reached out to me on Instagram.
They did.
I didn't get back to him yet. Now you're reminding me. I will get back to them.
I was the one that turned you on to this.
That's right. And they tagged me in something and said, thanks for the shout out from Boomer. Geo, did you get a chance to watch yet? One of those things. So, yeah, I got to
write them back. Oh, it's hilarious, especially the ones with the Giants and the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, just unbelievable. Like, just how they get it right every single time.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a lot of research. They're clever. They're funny. So good for them. You know, it takes a lot to cut through these days on stuff like that.
I was just watching one on the Jet fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jet fan.
Pretty hilarious, actually.
So speaking of the Jets and Giants,
yes. On
Friday, did you happen to see Abdul Carter's social media as he posted a picture of Lawrence Taylor?
There you go. Seems like Shador Sanders is dropping.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you know, now, you know, and I want the kid just to be happy. I want him to go to some place where he can be successful and where he's wanted, not where he's feared. And, you know, it's tough to watch a kid have to go through it, but it's also the reality of the business. And because it's, you know, Deion's son, and because it's Shador, and because of all the money that's surrounding him and what they did at Buffalo, I mean, Colorado for the Buffaloes, you know, now it all of a sudden becomes front and center that he's falling. And it's not the easiest thing for somebody to go through, but it is a little bit of humble pie. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, a lot of these things don't play out the way we expect them to. I mean, at this point, if Abdul Carter is putting out Lawrence Taylor photos and it says once a Giant, always a Giant, I mean, you essentially lock that in, so Shador's not going to go to the Giants at this point. But I don't know if Shador is going to drop to the point where he gets to the Steelers at 21.
I don't know. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility, I guess. But then, you know, the Saints are they 9?
Yeah, they're 9th, and right now the betting favorite is that he's going to end up with the Saints, especially with Derek Carr's shoulder problem that just popped up.
Right, and Deion put out on X, he said, you know, that number 9 pick is going to be interesting or something like that along those lines.
Well, we've come a long way since this whole thing started, and you remember you and I are sitting there watching Colorado a few years ago and listening to people pontificate, the guys that were doing the game, Lewis Riddick being one of them. Oh, this is guy, he's going to be a great pro. Maybe he will be a great pro. But the expectations and I think really in some cases unfair, but other cases brought on by himself and his dad.
Yeah. Now, all right, hear me out on this. Let me finish my thought before you just make a judgment on the name I'm going to throw at you. So I always said that the Giants should be taking a quarterback, and it's a shame that they lost out on number 1 overall pick. It would have been Cam Ward. Then I thought it was going to be Shador. It's not going to be Shador. And that I disagreed with that at the time. Now, I don't like the idea of passing up on a quarterback because you don't like him at 3, but then taking a guy that you had potentially graded out worse than that guy you passed out at 3 and then making him the future of your organization. However, I can be sold on one particular scenario, and that is taking Abdul Carter at 3 and then finding a way to get your hands on Jalen Milroe, who will not play a snap next year. He shouldn't have come out. He's not ready to play, but he is this classic, has all the athleticism in the world. He could sit there. He can learn. You got three quarterbacks there that could start ahead of him if need be. And if you watch Jalen Milroe, and many people have, obviously, because of where he played. I mean, his highlights are mesmerizing. Now, it's like an Anthony Richardson type of thing. But Anthony Richardson got thrown into the fire right away.
Mm-hmm.
So get him and just put him on ice for an entire year. I can be sold on that plan a lot more than some of the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say no to that. I mean, it would be nice for them to come out of this draft with somebody, whether it be Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Will Howard, you know, any one of these other guys, and Tyler Shuck out of Louisville, any one of them.
Yeah, but I think Milroe's different because of just how special he could be. I mean, he's like a...
He's
like
an explosive athlete.
Right, I mean,
that's what Shador doesn't have.
But so that's why. I mean, like, I'm not going to get excited about Will Howard or Tyler Shuck or any of those guys. I'd get excited about Jalen Milroe and his upside because, I mean, he could just be one of those guys. I mean, he could be a, you know, Lamar Jackson type if he hit his ceiling. But obviously that's a big comparison. I'm just talking about if everything worked out for him.
I will say this, watching two of his interviews over the weekend.
Yeah.
He really came across like he knew what the hell he was doing. Like he came across like he was buttoned up and, you know, he was a smart kid and, you know, he just realizes that, you know, he's got to get his pro career going. I mean, and look, Brian Daboll has ties to Alabama still. He knows what's going on down there. He knows the kind of players that they have. So, yeah, it would fit his offense more than Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston will. But then again, you don't want him to play this year.
No.
And by the way, if you did bring him in, I'm just trying to think. So if they bring a quarterback in here and they get off to a bad start, you know, what are the fans going to be screaming about?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to be screaming.
Play the kid. You got to play the
kid.
But no, follow the Kansas City model, for God's sake.
Yeah, just don't. I mean, if anything, you play Jameis Winston or, you know, like you have other options there. Just don't play him. He's not going to be ready. Unless Brian Daboll truly believes that he's ahead of the curve. Now, Jalen Milroe's going to the draft. Like, he's going to be there in Green Bay, which is, I mean, there's no lock he's a first-round pick.
Let me ask you a question. You got a special package for him?
Special package?
Yeah, special package guy with your stop gaps.
You got some
stop gaps. You got a special package guy, and you follow the Kansas City model, and you're playing the last game of the season when the game doesn't matter.
Yeah, but then you got to have. Then you're basically wasting a roster spot, a guy who doesn't play special teams to come in for a handful of offensive plays. I mean, I don't even know how you can. He wouldn't have to be a quarterback, right? He couldn't be the emergency quarterback. He'd have to be the backup in that situation, which you don't want. So no, I wouldn't have a special package. I'd have him holding that clipboard the entire year. You're not getting in a game, man. You are learning every bit. And I'll work with you. We're going to watch a ton of film. You're going to watch these games. You're going to talk to Russell. You're going to talk to Jameis. And we'll have a conversation next training camp.
Okay.
That's what I would do with him. And that would be exciting to me. That, you know, Shador coming here would be exciting. I don't think a lot of Giants fans would want that. But the combination of Abdul Carter and Jalen Milroe would be
all right. So that's the Giants. What do you want? What do you expect? I think most of us expect the Jets. If one
offensive
of these big
line.
Two offensive tackles are available, they would go for them. Maybe Mason Graham falls to them. They could go for them too as well. Do you think later on in the draft that they trade up and to try to get one of these other quarterbacks?
I don't know. I mean, I know that Jordan Travis thing is an interesting situation. I know that they want Justin Fields to work out. Like the Giants and the Jets quarterback situation are totally different. Like Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston are here for a year or two tops. Like the Jets are hoping with the upside of Justin Fields that there's a chance he could be their quarterback. I mean, he could be.
Who was a better team last year, Pittsburgh or the Jets?
Pittsburgh.
Then why didn't Pittsburgh keep Justin Fields?
I don't know. I have no idea. You know what it was? This is what I think. This is my best way of answering that question. I think they wanted to bring Justin Fields back. And Justin Fields didn't trust them because he got off to a 4-2 start. They benched him. And then when Russell wasn't playing well at the end of the year, he never got a chance to play. And I think that the Jets came in and said, hey, we're going to give you this money. You're our starter. And then he ended up going there. So
don't you think the Jets have got to draft a quarterback somewhere in this draft?
I don't. No.
Okay.
I don't. Because, I mean, I just, it doesn't seem like a great quarterback class. They got a lot of holes. I don't think it's imperative for them.
I mean, their holes mainly are on offense. They need a tight end.
Yeah, I know, but we overrate their defense so much. I mean, honestly, so they were miserable last year. They stunk. I mean, and they're not as good. A couple years ago, they were really good. I mean, in that year that Aaron Rodgers talked about how the Jets went up to Green Bay and beat them, the rookie year for Sauce Gardner, he put the cheese head on. They were really good. Last year, they weren't that good.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like you can't draft someone on defense to help them out. I mean, to me, it's a rebuild. It's guys. And I really think it's also going to be like character and the type of guy is going to be more prevalent with Aaron Glenn than the previous regime when it comes to this draft. Like he wants guys that are fully about playing football, no nonsense, whatever. Like that's why there's no way that if Shador, which it seems like he will drop to seven, that the Jets are going to take him. Like that's the anti Aaron Glenn player right now. Let's go to Dan in New Jersey. What's going on, Dan?
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Boomer, you missed a fun show on Friday, and this got brought up, so I wanted to ask you if you know the names of CeeLo's two daughters.
I don't.
He's got sons. He's got sons,
by the way. You don't even know he has sons, but I don't.
That was the joke.
Okay.
Crap.
I'm sorry, Dan.
I blew it. I'm sorry.
Love you guys, man. Never miss the show.
I do know that he has sons. I didn't know that, and I'm not sure of their names.
Okay, yeah, we didn't know either. Actually, I got one of them right.
You did?
I got one of them right, and Eddie got one of them right. But it was funny because I forgot that. We actually talked about that. We were planning to do you know the names of CeeLo's two daughters? You said no right away, but then you said he's got sons. So
I know he had sons.
You passed the test there. But I go, Jackson's one of them. Jerry goes, no, Jackson's not one of them. He's like, no, that's Moose's kid is Jackson. No. So then CeeLo comes in and goes, yeah, my son's name is Jackson. I also have a Jackson. So I did okay. The other one is Jace. But we did a newlywed game.
Oh, yes.
Between Al and Eddie, because Jerry had this thought. You know when Jerry gets deep into things, and as we just heard about like the dreams and dead and everything, and he was like having one of those moments where he's like, you know, we really don't know each other. Like we hear every day, but do we really know each other? So then we ended up playing a game there, and of course, you know, Jerry's like CeeLo's kids, you know, CeeLo's kids' names? And I was like, Jackson. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we know more about Moose's kids because he puts them up there on social media.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah, you know, he's down there at Disney and he's got kids playing hockey and he's got three boys and he makes it sound like it's a crazy house.
How many sisters did Eddie Scuzzeri have? I didn't know any of this, so don't feel bad.
I would say two.
Nah, three.
Three. I thought there was two. I know Al's got a sister.
How many?
Two.
All right. There you go. Could you name any one of those five people?
No.
Okay. See, these are the things.
I mean, what are we supposed to go sit in there and just, you know, spew our whole life story to everybody?
Well, I mean, when you work, how long you been working with Al now?
18 years.
Okay. I mean, it's not spewing a life story. You think at some point you'd come across that.
Yeah, but once we're done here, he and Jerry come in here. They do their post-game podcast. I'm out of here. He's going to Jersey. I don't see him.
Yeah.
I'll play golf with you.
Yeah.
Like, I know your kids. I know.
Yeah.
I probably know everybody in your life.
You do.
Yeah. Because we're actually together on Long Island playing golf.
Yeah, and we talk in the breaks and stuff.
Right. Yeah. We talk in the breaks, of course, and you know, we talk about life on the golf course and things of that nature.
Sure.
Except that one time where you roared me and you wouldn't talk to me at all for 18 holes because you were so focused on his golf ball and so worried about me thinking negatively about your golf game that I decided, well, I got to stay away from him. Just leave him alone.
Well, yeah, it was a big match. Yeah, you told me it was a big match going in, so I needed to focus. So, I mean, I thought that you'd appreciate that.
We're on the same team.
You know? Well, I thought that's what I thought you'd appreciate that. You needed me locked in. It's hard. There's no winning with you, man. You know?
Okay.
I mean, I remember we were in a match and like someone texted me and I was responding to a text and you're like, can you really think about the next shot while you're on your phone there? So well, like when
true.
I'm relaxed and I'm doing that and then I'm too locked in, it's impossible.
Put the phone away, goddammit.
Oh, I was looking forward to it. Now we may have an extra person play there. I was looking forward to a Boomer Wally battle today.
Oh, really?
I was looking forward to that because I love seeing those things. I play out in the Wally Cash and all of that. I was looking forward to that.
Two athletes going at it toe-to-toe. Two pit bulls on a golf course.
Oh, it's great when the two of you guys get going. And Wally is, you know, we always talk about his vanilla style on the air. But he busts balls out there. He'll laugh in your face after a bad shot. He'll say, like, he'll really lay into you. Like Tyrese Halliburton. Like, he'll lay into you like that.
Yes.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is here. A jam-packed sports weekend. What's happening, Jerry?
Well, good morning. Brought to you by Surf Pro Cleanup, Restoration, and Construction. Visit surfpro.com. Rory McIlroy, your champion at the Masters, beating Justin Rose in the playoff on 18. Here was Rory post-match in front of the crowd and everything on CBS. Just loves the event.
This is by far the greatest golf tournament in the world. I'm from a place that I might get criticized for saying that,
but still said it. And he says he's always.
Well, he grew up in the shadows of Royal Port Rush, over in Ireland, Northern Ireland. It's one of the greatest golf courses you will ever play, and it's got so much history.
Awesome.
What's that?
I said I don't know that I'll ever play it, but that does sound awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is really. It's an unbelievable golf course right along the water there, and it's always windy, and it's just, it's like breathtaking. So that's why he's saying that.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're going to get criticized because the Open Championship, people are going to want me to say that. But yeah, it's the greatest golf tournament in the world when you finally win it, right?
That too.
And he didn't say that last year.
I almost feel like, you know, the U.S. Open to me is always the hardest golf course to win because they set the golf course up so hard, the USGA.
Yeah.
And that one, when you win that and they play it, it's so many great golf courses. If you can win one of those, like, say, at Shinnecock.
Well, this year, Oakmont
is another one, yeah.
Sure, absolutely. But the Masters, the tradition, the whole thing, the green jackets, the pimentos, cheese sandwiches, the azaleas, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing every year.
Here's more Rory.
I go back to watching this tournament on, you know, the weekend with my father when I was 7 and 8 years old, watching Tiger Woods do what he did in 1997. That was my inspiration to try to become what I am today.
Yeah, a five-time major winner.
Jerry, how a champion can become an inspiration for somebody.
Absolutely.
Look at how many people Tiger spawned playing golf.
How many kids you're inspiring right now?
What, doing this?
That's exactly right.
No, but I'm talking about there's a kid that was inspired by Tiger Woods. And that's why he said what he said after he had won.
Yeah, that's usually why you would say something, yeah.
Yeah, but there's 20 million kids who never got there.
Exactly, and never will.
You guys are so unhappy.
But it's true. Here was the comment before I get back to Rory as a child. This was the comment about the phones at Augusta.
The no phone policy just makes everyone so present and so into what we're doing out there on the golf course. And it's just an absolute pleasure to play in an atmosphere like the one we played in today. So to everyone that stuck around, thank you so much.
That's kind of cool. We got to
Do you think every other golf course could actually enforce that type of rule or no?
No, I don't think so.
Golf tournament, I should say.
They can.
Yeah, they can.
They'll just kick you out.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think the U.S. Open could do that?
No.
You think the Ryder Cup could do that?
No, I don't. I think it would be very, very difficult.
It does make it a lot. I bet you
aren't there concerts, right, where you're not allowed in with a phone? You have to check your phone.
Well, if you check it and put it in a locker or something, then yeah, you could do that. But is that what they have to do with the Masters?
I don't know about that, but I know concerts.
Not allowed in if you have a phone on.
No, I don't think so. Well, right? They see it, you're out.
Is it like you can't bring in purses and things of that nature? That would be clear?
In some places,
yes. When you go to a concert, Al, do you bring your man bag with you?
I do not. No, I try to carry this minimal amount of stuff.
Okay.
All right.
So I know you're a man bag guy.
Right.
Only to work.
Okay.
Put your MERS through the security system, please. See what's in there. Wow.
What is that?
A lot of weapons in here. And a body cam.
Body cam.
That's why he can't have a clear MERS. You don't want to show everybody what he's got. Get arrested walking into work. Oh, man. All right, talking about a young Rory. Here he was on something called The Kelly Show back in, I think this was 1999. He can't be more than 7, 8, 9 years old.
When the weather's really bad, I know that you practice in the house, don't you?
Yes.
And tell us how you practice in the house. How do you do it? It's not putting, you practice. You're practicing pitching now, so how do you do it?
I chip air balls into my mum's washing machine.
Along the hall, in through the kitchen door, into your mum's washing machine.
Yes.
That's a very
young
nine. Rory. Yep. Nine. Okay, there you go. And I guess because it's Masters weekend and a big golf weekend, I had several people sending me this. I'm sure you saw it as well, from Jimmy Traina, who posted an old Mike and the Mad Dog clip. This is, it is funny. This is Russo trying to tell a story of watching a golf playoff, but also trying to give his kids Timmy and Colin baths at the same time.
I feel I killed two birds in one stone.
Right.
But I get the bath going, and maybe I can get the two baths done when they tee off on the second playoff hole.
All right.
So the reward, Timmy, when Sergio's about to putt there on and misses it
right.
on the first playoff hole, do me a favor, Tim, go shut the bath water off.
Right.
He goes upstairs, shuts the bath water off.
All right, so the scene is set for disaster then strike.
I didn't realize that when I picked Colin up, he had his clothes off. I put him in the water, and it was boiling hot.
You didn't test the water before you put the water
didn't put my hand in there. So he goes in the water, and he screams, and he screams, and he screams. His ankles turn lobster red. He's got third-degree burns.
I mean, subtly the best part of that is you didn't check the water before you put your kid in the water. I mean, that is unbelievable. I mean nobody can laugh like that about after boiling his kid like a dog. Jesus.
His feet are red like lobsters.
Yeah. And by the way, you know who lost in that playoff to Sergio Garcia that year? Justin Rose.
I didn't know the year. I couldn't tell.
Justin Rose.
What it was from. But that was pretty funny. That was
nobody cares about his
goodie.
Feelings. They only care about Rory's feelings.
Yes, that is true.
Well, yeah. He's still a great story, though. And he made, what, $2.5 million yesterday? Pretty good.
And he also, in full swing, it was a tremendous storyline in this past year is when he had to qualify for the Open Championship and had to go like the day before and like somehow qualify to get in. And then he finished second there.
Yep, pretty
finished
good.
Second here, 44 years old.
I thought he was 49. 44?
44, Justin 44. Rose, yeah.
Did you see the Jason Day backyard yet?
No, I totally forgot.
All right, fair enough. Baseball yesterday, Giants, Yankees at the stadium. The Yankees had a lead. Carlos Rodon was pitching well, and then he gave up a hit and a walk, and then a three-run homer. Yankees found themselves trailing 4-3, but the damage wasn't done yet.
2-2 from Leiter. Swing on, hit to the right side.
Oh, it gets under the glove of Goldschmidt. Here comes a run around third. A throw by Judge, and not in time. A sliding, hand-touching of home plate by Casey Schmidt. The Giants have a 5-3 lead.
And turned out to be the deciding run because the Yankees would get a solo home run from Jazz Chisholm Jr. Not enough, though. They lose to the Giants 5-4, and they drop 2 of 3 in the set. Jung-Hoo Lee homered twice, drove in 4. He had the big three-run shot we are talking about. He is batting in the early part of the season, 352 on the year. Here was Carlos Rodon. The walks are just killing me.
Yeah, just frustrating. Once again, like, falling behind guys, and you know, we have the momentum, and it's got to be better.
And so he is now 1-3 on the season. Yankees turn right back around, play the Royals tonight. Carlos Carrasco, Seth Lugo, the starters on the Fan at 6:25. As for the Mets, they were in Sacramento taking on the A's, looking to win the series.
First pitch, he swings and guides the ball in the air to straightaway center. Brown going back now to the right warning track. He loses it in the sun. It bounces over the wall for a ground rule double. Vientos scores.
It's a gift double, but they'll take it. Mets win 8-0. That was Keith Ratt on Mets Odyssey Radio. Luis Torrens 3-for-4, including that double. Also snapped a scoreless game with an RBI single. You had big hits from Vientos and Lindor and Beatty, and a really good start from Kodai Senga. 7 innings, 4-hit ball for the win, his second of the season. This was Senga through a translator. Where are you physically a few weeks into the season?
It's hard to say, maybe 80, 90%. It's hard to put a number on it, but there are things throughout the game that I wish I could do better. But at the same time, things are feeling a lot better, so I'm getting closer.
And looking more ace-like, for sure. Here was his manager, Carlos Mendoza. Seven innings. Nice to see the starters start giving us some length.
We knew at some point those guys are going to step up. They're really good at what they do, and we saw it yesterday with Peterson going six. Today, same guy, and like I said, you know, just like hitting. It's contagious.
It's contagious. We'll see if it does continue tonight. Clay Holmes will take on Joe Ryan on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio at 7 p.m.
The
Mets,
the first inning, you'll be all right.
Mets are 10-5, and if I read it correctly, the only team through the first few weeks of the season not to lose back-to-back games.
Yeah, and this also, you know, Juan Soto needs, I know he gets on base a lot.
To get going?
He's got to really get going. I mean, I feel like he's pressing.
That was a big BT and Sal conversation on my drive home on Friday.
Oh, it was?
That Sal said he was pressing.
Well, then I'm not saying that then.
Then people are...
you're taking that back?
I'm taking that back.
And callers were screaming at him about it and everything else.
He should be pressing. I mean, you know, he's been in so many big spots, has gotten paid so much money already. You know, what difference does it make? But he'll get going. I mean, eventually he'll carry the team for a month.
On Saturday in Houston, this happened in the Astros-Angels game.
Ball 2-0 pitch. Look at Trout! Trout's claiming interference, but that is in the stands. That is not his ball. That's a fan's ball.
Yep.
Well, he can argue all he wants, but that is a fan's right. Mike, you can look at it again, but that is a fan's right if the ball's in the stands.
And it was actually called a foul ball.
This fan, basically, I saw this whole thing. So this fan said basically he was protecting his son. Okay, fine. But Trout's got the ball in his glove, and he steals the ball out of the glove. Yeah. That's not protecting your son. That's ripping the ball out of his glove.
He did. I mean, he looked like he lost his mind and then realized what he did, and was trying to give the ball back to him.
He looked shocked.
Yeah.
Then they had a nice meeting after the game, took pictures, and Mike Trout was nice and signed autographs and everything for him, so it was good.
It was all nice, good, nice.
Everybody's fine.
Nice, nice.
That was a hell of a play by Mike Trout, though.
Nice to actually see Mike Trout
playing. Nice to actually see him on the field, yeah.
Yeah, how about that? And in San Diego, a former Yankee turns into gem.
Here's career-high pitch number 110, grounded to third base. Machado's got it. Flip to second one. Bogaerts to first in time. And a double play to end the game. Michael King with a two-hit shutout. His first career complete game.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
And who did they trade Michael King for?
Juan Soto.
Yeah.
He's no longer on the Yankees.
Yeah, but, you know, listen, Juan Soto did his job for the Yankees last year.
Yes, he did. That is true.
They got what they expected from him.
Well,
the great years that two guys put back, you know, him and Aaron Judge together last year.
But they didn't win the World Series. And this year, the Yankees are struggling with starting pitching. Michael King's throwing gems over there, and Juan Soto's on the Mets.
Okay, well, I mean, this is all after the fact.
What do you mean after the fact?
Well, I know that when they traded for Juan Soto, I don't remember anybody criticizing the trade other than they got Juan Soto.
I think the criticism comes from not re-signing him.
Right. They weren't going to re-sign him for $750 million.
No, clearly not.
Pay him twice as much as Aaron Judge? No way in hell.
Well,
I said that, and people mocked me for saying that.
I'm not mocking you, Jerry.
A lot of people.
What do you mean a lot of people? Do you have those names?
No, I don't remember the names.
I
was doing those shows last summer while you guys were lathering your bodies up with creams. I said the same thing. Like, it's interesting that you would pay a guy double the amount which you're giving Judge. Like, don't you have to give Judge a new contract? And people would call and say, he knows what he signed up for, blah, 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 blah.
Well,
stuff like that.
I will say that he did know what he signed up for, but again, Aaron Judge would want Juan Soto to get as much money as he possibly could get because the next guy coming, look what Vlad Guerrero just signed for.
$500
million. $325 million is a signing bonus to keep it out of Canadian taxes.
We heard. We did discuss that on Friday.
Yes.
He was boomified.
Oh, yes, he was.
That is true. Knicks-Nets on Sunday. The Knicks wound up winning 113-105. Stud Mikal Bridges became the target of Al's new Wuss Boy of the Week because he came in, played 6 seconds to keep his streak going.
Right. Josh Allen. Yeah.
Wuss Boy of the Week.
Yep.
Wuss Boy of the Week.
Here was Tom Thibodeau.
Get over it. 7 years in a row, this guy's played every game.
Not really. He didn't play yesterday.
He played 6 seconds.
Yeah, that's sorry. That don't count.
I'm with him on this.
I don't like keeping streaks alive for just stepping foot.
It's not a streak.
Well, the game didn't mean anything.
I understand.
I'm sure he would have loved to have played his normal amount of time, but the coach said, no, you're not.
Right, but that's not, I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
it's not his choice. You don't play. It wasn't his choice.
I think you got to play at least a quarter.
Okay, so I don't see that in the rule books, and I don't see that in the streak book.
Did Cal Ripken take the field, have one pop out and leave? No, he played every game.
Yeah, we did look into that. I don't think he ever went out there for one pitch and walked off the field. I don't think so.
Okay. All right. The guy played 82 games for seven straight years.
He played 81. God bless him. That was a great job.
And apparently, he did this two other times. So yeah, along the
three
way,
times
he played 81
in this
twice.
Streak.
It's a streak, and it counts.
Well, it's going to count, but I do agree with Al. An asterisk should go next to it.
No, they're not going to do that.
Anyhow, here was the clip from Tom Thibodeau on Friday about where his team is heading into the postseason.
Well, we just got to be honest with ourselves, look at what we did wrong, and we got to get fixed, and we got to get it fixed fast.
What needs to be fixed?
Everything. Yeah, you got to play for 48 minutes. So both sides of the ball.
And I don't think he's wrong, especially with the way they have played of late. Though they are now healthy, and we expect the best version of the Knicks, they will take on the Pistons.
I have a question for you. You're a basketball guy, right?
Sure.
I mean, you are. You're the voice of Rutgers
right
basketball.
Right on, yes.
And you're a huge Nets fan.
Yeah.
All right.
Didn't watch a lot this year, but yeah.
Knicks get knocked out in the first round. Is Mike Malone the next coach?
We talked about that Friday, too.
Oh, look at this.
Yep. Yeah. I think there's a very good possibility of that.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I have
nothing against Mike Malone at all. I'm just talking about.
You still want them out in the first round,
right? That exactly. Would be terrible. And I'm a Tibbs guy.
And you want to see Tibbs see this through?
Yes.
Game one Saturday at the Garden, Brooklyn draft lottery, sixth best chance at the number one overall pick. The Islanders beat the Devils 1-0. Rangers in Florida tonight.
Let's go to Nick in Pompton Plains before we take a break. What's going on, Nick?
Boomer, I'm on your side with this one, because if, think about it this way, if you're going to go and be with a girl for the first time and you only last 6 seconds, it still counts, though, right?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
That's a great analogy.
Not really, because he went all the way.
That is true.
If you only take off, like, one button, did you really accomplish anything?
I mean, if you only get the first
base.
Does
it count? I didn't even say that.
I mean, you know.
He didn't get the first base. He played 6 seconds.
You can't call him an Iron Man when he's doing that. That's one thing.
He did it once out of 80.
I agree. All the respect in the world. He does play every day. But to say the streak is still going.
And I bet you he would have played all game yesterday. And I bet you the coach said, you're not.
That's probably true. But he didn't.
But he did play 6 seconds.
Well.
Which is normally.
He jogged for 6 seconds. I don't know he played. That is true. 6 seconds longer than any of us.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, this song was unbelievable in the Sphere, man. They had these, I can't explain to you, they had these apartments in these cylinders, and the cylinders just kept moving up, and Joe Walsh is in the top playing the guitar. It's unbelievable. I don't know how to explain it.
Were you on a gummy?
I wasn't.
Sounds like.
I think two of the guys that were with me were because they were just sitting there like, I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying this too much.
Yeah, that sounds like the type of place that, I mean, especially when you see the videos that you showed me. I mean, it looks, as long as you're responsibly and legally doing it, being high seems like a good idea.
It's just an amazing feeling, yes. So,
well, not being high, but being in the Sphere, because you weren't high.
I mean, I wasn't. No, you were not. I had a couple bourbons.
Yeah. But no gummy spot or
no.
any of that stuff. No Tom Izzo THC drink, nothing like that.
None of that stuff.
None of that stuff. So I just saw this video. It's wild. I will never get over the Bill Belichick Jordan Hudson relationship. There's this video of him. He's at practice. All right. So practice is happening. Bill Belichick during practice, I mean, he's a taskmaster. He's on everybody, right? It's just like it's Bill Belichick. He's standing there with another coach. Jordan Hudson is wearing a leather coat down to basically the ground that is the UNC colors, all right, with white high heels. And she's walking up to him in the middle of the practice
getting his attention to like mess with something that he had on his jacket. I don't know if she was trying to like put a microphone on him or something, if this was like going to be a practice that was, you know, filmed. And then she goes back, then she goes back again, and she's just like walking across the field in these high heels. In this giant jacket.
It's very strange. Yes.
Like going
I know.
Up to him and in the middle of practice.
Very strange.
And I'm like, if anybody like just woke up or had like a Rip Van Winkle situation and woke up and like, you know, had gone to sleep like 2004, woke up and saw that dude and said, This is AI. This is not real. This is not going on. There's this 25-year-old with white high heels and a UNC leather jacket bugging her boyfriend, Bill Belichick, in the middle of a practice?
I think she's handling everything for Bill Belichick these days. Appearances, commercials, whatever he's doing, she's running for him. You know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the word on the street out there. But yeah, she, like, let me see if
also,
I can.
Also, I guess he wrote a book. I guess he's got a book coming out.
Well, yeah, we actually have it.
Yeah, I have them.
Oh, we do it.
Yeah, I'm still working on the booking him.
Yeah.
I tried. The book people are responding to me. We're going back and forth. But I did reach out to her directly because I thought maybe that would help. She did not respond to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
I DM'd her.
You slid into her DMs?
Yeah.
Like, how do you try to get just the classic lead with Boomer type of thing?
Yeah. Well, I figure she has probably no idea who Boomer is because she's a young son chick.
Yeah.
Hey, how do you know that?
So I just said, hey, hot stuff. yeah, I just have very positive. Well, I understand you might be helping book interviews.
Well, wow. The reason I was bringing up the book, I didn't know we had it here. I'd love to see it. I'd love to read it. But the fact is that he doesn't really mention craft in this book.
He doesn't. Not doesn't really. I don't think at all. Yeah.
And I guess I wonder, because it's Vrabel now up there, and it's Belichick couldn't get back into the NFL. He probably he's got to feel as if Bob Kraft blackballed him.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, what happened with the Arthur Blank Falcons thing that all of a sudden, I mean, it seemed like a lock and then it wasn't.
And then you have Bill Parcells going into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother thing because they weren't talking there for a while.
Yeah, I think they're okay now.
Yeah, well, now, yeah, of course, Bill Parcells says now we're okay.
I mean, yeah.
Time passes and you realize, you know, that you got to kind of make amends and things. You
got to get over it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This group of people, I mean, just all the crap that has gone on around them.
Yeah. I mean, does Bill... Like, this is
Bill
the thing.
Bill and Bill didn't get along together. Bill and Bob didn't get along together. This Bill doesn't get along with that Bob. That Bob doesn't get along with this Bill. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, what I'm surprised, has there been anybody when Bill's been on these interviews that has asked him about his girlfriend, like, just straight up? I mean, no one has. I mean, is that like a prerequisite to get him on that you can't ask those questions? But it's just surprising he's never talked about it really publicly.
What about...
About her, yeah, about the whole thing and, you know, dating someone that young and what is it like and all of those things. You know, and it doesn't seem like anybody's asked him those questions.
I would imagine that if he sat down for an interview, he wouldn't be much different than he always has been.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what'd he say? I mean, we're on to Duke, if he's asked him. Like, you know what I'm saying? If he's asked about Jordan Hudson, I don't know
Yeah, no, we're on to Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. No. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear what he's got to say about it. You know, do you feel like there's people who judge you about this? Or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Do you think she's using you? All these things I'd love to ask.
Maybe it's also giving him a second lease on life.
But certainly is, yeah.
Right? I mean, so.
I'll tell you, though. I mean, it's undefeated, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
That thing, because to see her coming up in the middle of the field while he's coaching at practice.
And she's got that light blue and the white heels and everything. It's perfect. I don't know. Do you feel like part of me feels like they're playing us, but then the other part of me feels like, I guess not. I guess they really truly...
No, they're into each other. 100%. Yeah.
Who would have ever thought that you would see Bill Belichick on the beach with his girlfriend on his feet while he's on his back?
It gets weirder and weirder every day. It really does. I'm never going to get over it. I'm never going to get over it.
You have to admit it's one of the most
entertaining.
Yeah. Yes. Relationships in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you can bet on if they're going to get engaged this year on Polymarket, which I think I'm going to do after watching that last video. Oh, yeah.